Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Hey, what a day it's been.
It's not over yet.
You know, there's still
opportunity for some more adventure.
Well, today we were talking about, prior to the show, we were talking about today as the start of Rosh Hashanah. That begins at sundown for 2 days of celebrations, and that brings to mind the whole reason is October. I think it's October 8th we have the blood moons coming around again. So,
does that have anything to do with Oktoberfest?
Could have something to do with Oktoberfest. So it's interesting that... you know, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting year next year.
Well, they're all interesting.
No, I think it's going to be more interesting.
But they get more and more interesting as time goes on.
I think it's going to be 7 years from 2008. So a lot of things are just kind of coming to a peak in 2015.
Yeah, we'll take a peek at 2015 when it rolls around the corner.
Well, I'm peeking early.
Okay.
I'm peeking.
You're not supposed to peek at you're not supposed to peek. It spoils the surprise.
No, I peek so I can plan. Right. So, anyway, I couldn't plan on gold being down $6 today at $1,217. You have silver down 9 cents at $1,780. Platinum was down 11 at $1,323. Palladium managed to be up a couple bucks at $819. And the big story, you have USDX, that's pulling over 85. It was up 0.36 today at 85.06. So, again, with that type of a number in the index, you could see the hit on gold. And, of course, crude oil was up $1.48 at 93.04. And as long as they're doing some airstrikes and so forth, you are going to see a little bit of a stronger dollar coming into play here. And there will come a time, though, where the rushing to the dollar will change to rushing into gold, depending on how this situation unfolds in the Middle East. So don't think that the dollar is going to continue to rise and gold is going to continue to go down. There will come a place in time where that reverses itself. And the paper markets today, I don't know what they're loving about the world, so to speak, but the Dow was up triple digits today. up 154 points. You know, they say it was the Dow was up because of a rally in tech. You know, but the NASDAQ was only up a little over 1%. But you still have the NASDAQ overall at 45.55. And again, my numbers for the NASDAQ is 5. So we'll have to see how that plays out before they see if the NASDAQ.
You mean
NASDAQ
your number?
Tanks.
You think NASDAQ is going to 5,000? Is that
That's
what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it'll match its old high. And it's going to do what, you know, once it gets there, then you're going to see it turn around. I don't believe the NASDAQ will continue to 6. You know, I think it'll probably hit that 5. I think that's what everybody's waiting for. And then we'll see a reversal. You know, the Dow at 17,210 and the S&P was up 15 at 1998. And the 10-year yield up 0.03 at 2.57%. And, oh, today's Thursday. We have.
No,
or
today
Wednesday.
Is Wednesday.
I slipped. We have Wendy Wilson joining us from the Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon,
oh, Melody.
Hi. Welcome
can
to
everybody,
the program.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you know, it's raining cats and dogs here. So fall has just hit us. We are like 58 degrees in rain.
Sounds nice. I'm down here in Texas and it's pushing 90 degrees and it's dry. I wouldn't mind seeing some rain. I'd like to see some. You know, we've had a fairly wet summer. It hasn't been for this part of the country, but you know, I look forward to change of seasons.
Well, in the nice weather, do you get out and run, Al? Do you do any jogging?
No, I don't. I have turned into a couch potato. I worked physically for much of my life, and when I was 45, my resting pulse was 44 beats per minute.
What about you, Melody? Do you get out there on the treadmill or anything?
I do the treadmill, but I don't run.
Okay.
I walk fast,
okay.
But I'm not a runner. I never...
Yeah, a lot of people are into the running and fitness. A lot of people would like to be, and that's our topic today is, you know, how do we, you know, stay fit and minimize the injuries? Because that's one of the fears that a lot of people have is, you know, if I get into this jogging or running thing, I may wear out my joints prematurely. And it is true. You know, if you do run marathons, 90% of the runners do sustain injuries. But you have to wonder, you know, the ancient people. You know, a lot of them ran great distances in just a pair of sandals, right? And they didn't seem to have any records of major injuries. So do you suppose the invention of the sneaker has promoted poor running technique and maybe some injuries? Well, this is a question that some researchers have posed, and I thought it was a very interesting one. Has, you know, this new technology with our running gear and all this new fad stuff, has this had a negative impact on our joints and our feet, and you know, as opposed to what ancient man had? So let's look at the past to see what we've done to our future here.
Ancient man, maybe they did. I was going to say they didn't live as long as we did, but I guess they lived longer than we did.
I don't think they lived as long, generally speaking, but go ahead.
But anyway, according to some Harvard biologist Daniel Lieberman and biologist Dennis Bramble of the University of Utah, he says humans were born to run, you know, we got really good at it in ancient times. So being able to run, he said, was, you know, a life-saving endeavor. And also you had to have these defensive strategies of running if you wanted to survive and also to catch your dinner, right? Hunters. So most four-legged animals can outrun man in a short distance, but he can't with regards to long distances.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is humans are designed to outrun nearly all animals. So when animals overheat, in order for them to cool off, they have to slow down and pant. Humans can cool off by sweating, and there's very little body hair to hold the heat in. So it offers us the opportunity to take advantage of the endurance factor. So the biologists believe that early man engaged in a lot of distance running, chasing animals, overheating them, tiring them out, and then moving in for the kill in order to have food. So then, of course, later primitive hunting inventions came along, and that made that job a little easier. But I thought this was really fascinating. They got into the foot mechanics. They got into foot mechanics, how our feet, our legs, our tendons and joints are all designed. They made this observation, and they documented it in the February 2009 Journal of Experimental Biology. And they said the human foot is designed to run with less effort. So our feet, compared to animal paws, make running more efficient, according to their report. So humans have these shorter toes compared to animals, and when you increase the length of the toe by 20%, it doubles the mechanical effort it takes to run. So man's big toe, they also noticed, is straight, and that's designed as a push-off for running. And an ape, for instance, his toe is to the side. So the design of man's feet and legs all lend themselves for great movement and speed and endurance. No animal has this design. For instance, chimpanzees and apes, they don't have ligaments and tendons like we do, which are essential for that endurance running. So this helps man balance also his head when he runs, according to their report, and also takes advantage of the glycogen stored in our muscles so that we can do an easy 20-mile run. What do you think?
What do you mean, yeah. We, white girl?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. You know, the artificial surfaces, the Nike shoes, all the developmental things for running has had a negative impact, according to the experts, on ligaments and tendons and joints. So we tend to stress those areas. So and actually, runner Christopher McDougall, he's the author of Born to Run, he said that he often was plagued as a long-distance runner with injuries, but then he studied the running techniques of the Mexico Tarahumara Indians, and he said for 3 years now, he's been running either with no shoes or with those kind of like slipper running shoes. Have you seen those? They're new.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he says it's prevented further injury. He says it was just a major, major technique improvement, he said. So
he's implying, or maybe he's even coming out and saying, that these fancy shoes we can get from Reebok and who God knows who else is manufacturing, that there is actually something intrinsically wrong with these that are contrary to our natural ability to run.
Yeah, he says the biomechanics of running, it appears, what they've done, the improvements aren't for the better. He says experts actually recommend that adult runners avoid the strenuous runs, and if they want to get to long-endurance running, to build up over a long period of time to do that. He recommends adopting the strategy that an ancient long-distance runner would have, where he would periodically take walking breaks. And so we haven't been doing that. So I just thought that was really interesting about the mechanics of the foot, the distance, the length of your toes. And, you know, if you got long toes, I guess you're impacted a little bit more negatively as far as the effort to run, according to their report. I thought that was neat.
I agree. I think that's pretty interesting information. It's a surprise to me. I would have thought that these people, Nike, all these people that are manufacturing these shoes, you would think they're doing research to find out what makes the best, what really is the best running shoe, what really helps people run. And what you're implying is they aren't worried about what helps you really run. They're just worried about what helps sales.
According to the running experts, I'm no running expert, but
I understand.
I do know certain surfaces aren't good for you. So I'm thinking artificial turf and things like that. If you're running on that, I think it's just more friction, and I think just wear. It's just more wear and more effort in your running. So I think the more natural you go, according to the experts, the better you are. So I'm all for that. Yeah. And, runners will sweat a lot, Al, Melody. So I also touched on the subject of, the sweat glands and not hindering them because, you really need them to release fluids and toxins. And so you've got lots of sweat glands. You've got 2.5 million of them all over your body, and this is what cools you down and helps you detox. So a lot of people will use antiperspirants and even deodorants to stop the sweat and the unpleasant odor, but of course these products can have, you know, negative impacts on us. They can clog our glands and trap in toxins, because the average product will have wax and a liquid emollient which blocks the gland from sweating, and of course aluminum compounds, which is the highest ingredient volume. And according to dermatologist Dr. Eric Hansen of the University of North Carolina's Dermatology Department, he says this is how antiperspirants work. Moisture flows in with the aluminum ions in the product that you put on, and it swells the ducts shut, and the sweat can't be released. So he says your average over-the-counter antiperspirant will contain about 10 to 25% aluminum, which decreases the sweating by a minimum of 20%. And he says, but normally your liver and your kidneys help remove a lot of toxins from the body. But when those organs aren't working quite as well, the body relies on your sweat glands to help as a backup. So you want to keep that in mind. Also the underarm aluminum salts, he says, can damage your cell DNA.
Well, you know, I mean, you find this stuff out, and every time you turn around, you think you see something that's going to do you some good. And it turns out that maybe not. Maybe it's just going to do the guy who's selling it some good.
Right.
Maybe it won't do you all that much good. Do you know anything about... Go ahead.
Yeah. I had learned about some alternatives to the antiperspirants and deodorants 20 years ago. They're called salt crystals, actually. And one of the best products on the market is made by Crystal Lux. And they have a push-up solid, which is a stick, which is similar to your, you know, what you currently use, but only it's made from crystals, mineral salts, basically. And they also have it in a spray, which if you don't want to do the push-up, you can. And the interesting thing is, Al, their small 2-ounce or their large 4-ounce, they'll last 1 to 2 years. You'll save a lot of money on sundry items. So that's an option for folks if they're worried about that. Plus, they also found in breast cancer patients, women, a lot of aluminum in the breast tissue. So they're finding that it's an issue when you want to use those type of products. Could create a cell compromise there.
For what it's worth, this is a little off topic, but do you understand how your joints function and how the cartilage feeds itself?
Yeah, well, your tendons and your connective tissue, your muscles, all that area really depends on boron, magnesium, and calcium for strength and flexibility.
There's another point, though. There's another point. The reason people's knees wear out typically is not from overuse, but from underuse. And the reason is that the cartilage doesn't have any blood vessels in it. And the only way you can feed the cartilage or extract the toxins from the cells that make up the cartilage is you have to squeeze it, compress it, release it, like a sponge. And this happens when you walk, when you run, when you're doing exercise. If you won't do those exercises, you can't get proper nutrition to the cartilage, and the cartilage literally rots, and you wind having bone-on-bone contact. Now it's too much pain for you to be able to walk.
Oh, you know? Well, good point. Good point, Al. What? That's right. You release a lot of toxins, too, when you stretch your muscles in them. A lot of proteins are released. That's important. That's the first thing you do in the morning. And I know we're out of time. So
give folks, how do they reach the powerherbs.com?
Yeah.
And
yeah, they
phone
could go
number
to sure. They could go visit us online at thepowerherbs.com, and they can find the Crystal Lux products there if they want to check those out. And our toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. It's been a joy. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. And here's my co-host, Melody Cederstrom, with a special du jour.
Yes. Well, you know, Al, we were talking about grams all week long, and I thought, well, let's do a special on 1/10 ounce gold. American Eagles. That's 1/10 of an ounce. They actually have a $5 face value on. It's a real coin minted by a real government. And I know you can attack that, Al, but let's just for now call it.
I'm not going to say anything, but it did make me wince.
I know it
did. We're on television right now. They'd say, "Do you see the look on that guy's face?" A real government.
But it is accepted and guaranteed. And so it's a real coin, $5 face value, 1/10 of an ounce gold eagle for $139. Now, if you purchased, for comparison, if you purchased the equivalent in those grams, you would be paying for about the same amount of gold, $225. So which would you rather pay, $139 and get a real coin that has a $5 face value on it, minted by the government, U.S. government, or would you rather have a little gram?
Three of them. Yeah.
That nobody really knows, and you will probably lose in the future because they're teeny tiny. Yeah. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 1/10 of an ounce gold eagle, $139. Give us a call. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, our radio programs are archived there. if you choose to go back and listen to them. And you can also listen live from the website.
Okay, Melody, what's next?
We talked about this the other day, about the U.S. is cracking down on companies moving overseas.
Yes.
And
an article from the Associated Press. The Obama administration cracked down on Monday on certain overseas corporation mergers and acquisitions, aiming to curb American companies from shifting their ownership abroad to shirk paying U.S. taxes. All right. Now they got new regulations. They've got new regulations coming from the Treasury Department, and it says the U.S. will make it harder for companies to move overseas in the first place. And that's all very interesting, but why didn't they do that 20 years ago when they were talking about NAFTA and GATT and other global free trade treaties that allowed, encouraged, and even forced U.S. corporations to relocate their industrial factories and jobs overseas? Now the government has reversed course and said, well, at least in part, it's been fine to move the industries overseas and fine to move the jobs overseas, but they want the corporate headquarters to remain here where they can be taxed on their profits. Corporations can make money, government make money, but the government is essentially saying they don't care about the American people. They don't care about whether you people have any jobs. That's not an issue. The important thing is that the government preserve its ability to continue to tax corporations by refusing to let them leave the United States. So it just strikes me. You know, it just strikes me as one of those interesting little ironies, contradictions, evidence of how stupid people can be sometimes. I mean, the people in government, they had to know when they began to advocate global free trade that it would be terrible for American workers. It's not good for them. There's no way we can compete head-on with Chinese labor. More as workers, we might be able to do it with corporations using robots, but with workers, can't compete with them. Not in a meaningful sense, because they're working for a fraction of what they can, what workers can make in this country. When we moved our jobs over there and our industries over there, we damaged American workers. When we let illegal aliens come into this country, cut wages for American workers. Government doesn't care about American workers, but it does care about corporate headquarters, because that will be the location for the tax liability. So they're going to keep the corporate headquarters here, and the factories and the jobs can go wherever. That's an exaggeration, but it still makes a point. Government is not doing what's best for the American people.
Well, certainly not. Well, I saw a report earlier today. I talked about it on a program earlier also today. The homelessness increases among U.S. school children. And to me, we're talking about the children that are enrolled in U.S. schools in the 2012 to 2013 school year. There's a lot of homeless children that are not enrolled in school. So this number would be, I would think, extremely higher than what they actually report, which is 1.3 million, approximately 1.3 million homeless children are enrolled in U.S. schools. And that's an increase of 8% from the previous school year. And these numbers were released by the U.S. Education Department earlier this week. A lot of it is due to lack of affordable housing, which kind of makes you scratch your head when they come out and make new home sales rose, you know, a significant, 16 or 18% a day. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. But you know, there's a lot of families that are being forced, and it's just not the lack of affordable housing. How about the lack of jobs?
I understand.
That's forcing the families to live in streets and motels, or, you know, to double up and Lord knows what. And
well, I've said it for a long time, but this government is literally destroying this nation. And whether it's doing it by intent or not is debatable, but it's doing it. It's sending us right down the pipe. And I don't know what to do about it other than, at least on the immediate basis, protect yourself as best you can for what may be, for the trouble that government seems determined to foster. And protect yourself, and besides that, get involved politically. Try to make a difference. Try to make it stop. Try to make the politicians understand that they can't just get away with their treason and their deliberate indifference to the best interests of the American people. We're going to have to get in their faces, stand up in public, scream and shout, and put the fear of the political system into the politicians, and who knows, maybe they'll start doing the right thing for us. Here's an article from the Wall Street Journal. And the headline is, More Americans Forgo Marriage as Economic Difficulties Hit Home. As long-term financial security becomes a pipe dream for more Americans, a growing share is giving up on marriage. 1 in 5 U.S. adults aged 25 or older have never been married. All right? As of this was 2012, it's probably gone higher than that. But 1 in 5, 25 or older, have never been married, which is a record high. Only 53% of all never married adults said they would like to marry eventually, down from 61% in 2012. People don't even want to get married anymore. Increasingly, I don't mean no people, but it's increasingly people don't want to be married. The figures in the census data are more striking for African Americans. 36% of blacks aged 25 and up had not been married in 2012, compared to 25% in 1990 and 9% in 1960. The percentage of blacks over 25 who aren't married is 4 times greater today than it was in 1960, when the civil rights movement was really just kind of beginning. All right? That's fascinating. It's something's happened in the African-American community that's not good for them. For whites, the share of never married was 16% in 2012, up from 11% in 1990 and 8% in 1960. White never married over 25 has doubled since 1960, 54 years. Blacks have quadrupled in the same amount of time as a percentage of population. It can't be good for either group, but it's particularly bad for blacks. What else have we got in here? They're talking the variety of reasons to explain these changes. They talk about the sexual revolution of the 1960s and 70s, rising numbers of women attending college and entering the workforce. They've helped increase the age when Americans get married. The decline in religious institutions is a contributing factor. They go on and say a major factor is simply the economy. We're talking about the same thing Melody was talking about, children who are homeless going to school and how the numbers are growing. And here we're talking about something very similar with a number of people who have decided that they are not choosing to be married at this time. All right? Incomes haven't risen for most Americans since the 1980s. We're talking about most of 35 years since the average American has seen a real increase in purchasing power. Even though housing and child rearing costs have increased, so is food. Costs are going up, but income is going down. Young men have been hit particularly hard. For men 25 to 34, median hourly wages have declined 20%. Since 1980 in real terms, in terms of purchasing power. These young men are making 20% less than they did back in 1980. The list goes on. Let me see. Here's among never married men ages 25 to 34, the number of employed available men per 100 women has dropped to 91 in 2012 from 139 in 1960. In other words, for every 100 women who were looking for a husband back in 1960, there were 140 available men who had a job. All right?
Today.
Today, for every 100 women that are looking for a husband, there are only 91 men who have a job. Now, it's one of the things that's happening is all of this is making men increasingly valuable. It's decreasing the value of women on the domestic and marriage market, the rest of that sort of thing. Men have more women to choose from. Women have fewer men to choose from. There's a shift in power. I understand. But, you know, the point to the article from, again, the Wall Street Journal is that this can be traced to economic circumstances. This is the same thing we're talking about with 1,300,000 children who are homeless and going to school. These economic circumstances have been diminished, damaged, injured, perhaps irrevocably in this country. And what was once a really fine and glorious nation is being increasingly pushed in the direction of poverty. And whether you believe it's the government's doing this by intent, they're engaged in treason, or whether you believe that the government is just a bunch of idiots and they're doing this by accident, is almost irrelevant. The fact is, they have to be made to stop. It has to stop. We can't keep playing stupid just because some of these stupid ideas sound nice. We're going to have to start doing the right thing. Not what feels good. We're going to have to do what is good, and there's a big difference on that. And if we won't do it, lots of people are headed towards enormous trouble, and they won't understand it when they get there. In part due to our public school education system. They won't have enough brains to understand what's even happening to them. This whole thing is so dangerous and so fragile. And people are so vulnerable right now. Lots of people. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. According to the Federal Reserve, 52% of the American people couldn't come up with $400 cash in any particular time. If you have an emergency that costs over $400, 52% have to sell some of their personal property or take out a loan to deal with that $400 emergency. That's over half the country doesn't have $400 cash to their name. We're talking about bank accounts, savings accounts. A shoebox in the closet, something under the mattress. They don't have $400. I find that to be one of the scariest statistics I've seen. Well, it's evidence that we are vulnerable. And it's part of the reason why we call the program Financial Survival. Your financial survival is certainly being stressed right now for most people. And there's a high probability that in the foreseeable future, and probably in the near future, you're going to see things happening to the monetary system and financial system in this country that will truly threaten your financial survival and maybe even your survival. And one of the things you have to do, protect yourself against that, you've got to store something of value. You've got to have savings. And you can have that savings in gold and silver and rifle and ammunition and toilet paper and food, but something. Otherwise, you know, you are at risk. You are essentially on an ocean voyage, and you don't have a life preserver. And maybe the ship you're on is going to sink, or maybe it'll just be stranded at sea for a while and everything will be fine. If it's just stranded, it'll get to shore eventually, or maybe it's going to sink. But it just makes sense. If you're on the ship and you're the only one who doesn't have a life preserver, you say, sir, I don't have a life preserver. Can one of you people provide me with a life preserver? You need to find out what's going on. Why don't you have a life preserver? And how do you get one? And you better have one. They're not stylish, and they're not even comfortable, but if you got to have one, you absolutely have to have one. You know, it's not something you can buy at the last minute. So these are just more, again, over a million American children are homeless and going to school. And down here we've got more Americans are foregoing marriage as economic difficulties hit home. Same thing.
And I do want to say something, but we're heading into a break right now. But, I mean, it's another sign of the decay of our nation. Mm-hmm. And when you look back, everybody talks and relates to, oh, the country was so great during the 50s. Marriage was an important part of why it was so great, the marriage, the kids, the community, the togetherness.
Yep.
And that is that has been broken down by intent. And you take God out of things, and that's how it also is a big part. There's no accountability anymore. We talked about the Gen Xers. I mean, they're going to be the first generation that are worse than their parents. The same amount of money they have saved today is what half of what their parents had at the same age.
And that's nominal rather than based on inflation.
Yes.
I mean, after you calculate for inflation, they're far worse off. They probably have 5-10% at the most of whatever their parents had in purchasing power back in the day. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I think I want to share with the listeners, we were talking about during the break about marriage and how blessed people are that have been together for so long, and you see them, and if you observe people, and you know, there's nothing that warms my heart more when you see an older couple holding hands. He's looking at her like, you know, she's 21, and all the wrinkles and all that, it just doesn't matter. And it's so important. I mean, that's, you know, it's, you know.
It's something, it's the ideal that everyone's looking for. Yeah. But I'll tell you another one that I remember. Do you know what this is another one of these statistics that goes to how important it is that economic management of this country be rational, reasonable, and for the best interest of the people. Do you know what the major cause of divorce is in this country?
Well, it always used to be money.
That's it. That's it. Financial stress. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not because failure to communicate. It's not because somebody left the toilet seat up or down or whatever. That's not it. It's financial stress. who puts us under financial stress? Right now, when I was a little boy, my dad, the tax rate for my dad was about 10-15% his total tax burden. He got to keep 85% of whatever he earned. And because he got to keep that much, my mother could stay home and raise me and my sister. Today, an average young man is paying at least 50% of his income into local, state, and federal taxes. And it's probably higher than that. It's part of the reason why mom has to work. They make a big deal. Oh, women are liberated. They get to have a job. Big deal. Now you can't stay home and raise your kids because your husband can't make enough money to support the family in the same sense that my dad could back in 1950. Your husband can't do it because he's being taxed into oblivion by the government. And as a result, people get upset about this. Next thing you know, you have a divorce on your hands because of the financial stress that is caused by government, and particularly by big government. And the government sits back and says, the solution to the problem is you people need to pay more taxes and give us more power, and then we will do a better job for you. If you want to solve these problems, you've got to get tough. And you've got to sit back, and when the government says we need more money, just tell them to go to the hot place. No more money. You understand? You want to expand the government? Forget it. We're going to cut government by a third. Let's do that. Let's see what happens. Let's get rid of a third of the government and see if this country goes up or it goes down. And I'll make you bet we can get rid of a third of the government. The country will probably tend to heal rather than collapse. So what's next, Melody?
Well, you know, this kind of goes along with the same topic that we're talking about, and that is, you know, people with money problems that people have, and making ends meet. I mean, we can go over this quickly.
Top five money problems?
Yep.
Oh, making ends meet. That's number one, according to USA Today. And people are most concerned about ensuring that they have enough to maintain a comfortable lifestyle when they retire. Now, I'm not sure what they mean by a comfortable lifestyle. I mean, just, you know, all right, you got a couch, you got a TV set, you have an internet connection. You know, you can putz around. I don't know how much they expect what it takes to be comfortable, but 30% of them, 30% of the American people say they're worried. They don't think they're going to have enough to maintain a comfortable lifestyle, not a lavish lifestyle, comfortable lifestyle when they retire. Living for today is number two. Yes? All right, Melody. I don't know if you were going to say something, or you've thought better of it, or you've just tried to stifle a. Did you try to stifle a yawn just then, Melody?
Not at all. It really was.
All right. Anyway, living for today is number two. According to the Federal Reserve survey released from earlier this year, 31% of non-retired respondents reported having no retirement savings or pension, including 19% of those aged 55 to 64. They mean they've been living for today. They have not saved anything, and now they are in considerable doo-doo. They cite lack, 40% of the respondents cite lack of savings as their biggest financial regret. We've been out there buying all that junk that we store in the garage where we don't even have space to keep our car in the garage anymore because we bought too much junk. All right? We should have been putting that money into savings. I talked a little about this yesterday when we talked about gold. One of the nice things about gold is it's not easily spent. All right? You start saving your income in gold, and you're not just gonna run around and say, yeah, let's go throw another gold coin, let's go spend it. It tends to make you more responsible, it tends to make you more frugal, it tends to maintain you aren't as tempted to spend your savings. Accounting or accumulating too much debt, that's number one. That's 20% feel that the accumulation of too much debt is their biggest financial regret, that people are too big a debt. Again, that's not savings. Debt. All right. Number four, making poor purchasing and investment decisions. That's in part because we are ignorant, in part because of our school system in this country, in part because most of us, many of us at least, tend to trust the government when they say, ha-ha, the recovery, The recovery is here, or just about here. That misinformation, lies provided by financial and governmental institutions in this country, part of the reason that we make bad decisions. The real reason we are ignorant and in fundamental reality, fundamental responsibility for my decisions is me. But you got to give the government its due. They help. They help keep all of us fat, dumb, and happy, and days coming that won't be affordable. And lastly, being unable to enjoy money. There are some people who are so money conscious that they won't spend a nickel. And they wish they could spend it more freely. I'm not one of those people. I'm frugal. I'm tight. I'm not wasting my money. I live under relatively humble circumstances so I can save the maximum amount of my income. I'm not, I'm looking to the future. I'm not just spending it today.
Well, I think that also includes folks I hear day in and day out. You know, Melody, when I reached this age, I didn't think I have to worry about my money. I thought I'd be able to put it into a bank, get a reasonable amount of interest, and move on.
Yeah.
And they cannot do that. So they're unable to enjoy the money that they have. They don't know we're living longer. They don't know how much they need with inflation and everything else that's facing us. No, I mean, there's certainly no direction in anywhere coming out of Washington or from any of the politicians on where our country's going to be. We know where it's going to be in 10 years, but
3 years.
For long term. Well, I'm talking long term for people who don't understand what's going on. They don't know. They cannot enjoy their money or their retirement.
Well, they enjoy it in foolish ways right now if they're spending it lavishly.
Well, they're the ones that they're not spending because they don't know where everything is headed. Yeah. But we got a caller. We got Jim from West Virginia. Hello, Jim.
I do. First of all, I want to wade into this marriage thing, and please don't cut me off. I was married to one very difficult marriage. It didn't work. I'm now married to an angel. If you stop and realize that a divorce, on average, costs more than housing, on average, for a new young couple, I understand how bad this is. Now, it is true that when the wolf knocks at the door, love flies out the window, but we have been programmed to fight with each other. I'll give you an example. All couples argue. No, they don't. One of your poor, my mother told me in so many words, if your sister doesn't want to listen to what you have to say, you shut up. That's arguing. We do not argue. My parents did not argue. I do not argue with my beloved Diane. My grandparents did not argue. Now, also, before I go any farther, I understand what television has done. I love Lucy. If you want to hurt each other, to each other, oh, honey, because their marriage was more important than any point they had to make. And then we go forward to Archie Bunker. Look at the programming there. And then Married with Children. And now The Simpsons. Folks, your marriage is one of the most valuable things in the world if you can make it work. I'm going to tell you right now, you each have to figure out that your primary job is to please you, pleasure yourself. And I am not kidding. This programming of marriage has caused a horrific economic destruction. Everything from women's liberation, which doubled the burden on women, to all this stuff between men and women. We have no role models. But you got to understand, dead seriously, those vows are what it's all about. You're committed, not conditional, unconditional. I promise to love, honor, cherish, want to have and hold, forsaking all others. That means I place Diane one notch below God, my beloved wife for life. Okay? Now, you can put your marriage back in place, folks, if at all possible, but just figure out why you fell in love with them, and number two, what you need to do to please them, because my parents, my grandparents, and myself, too, all the time, how can I help you? Is there anything I can do to help you? Do you need me to help you with that? Folks, your marriage, if you wreck your marriage, it'll cost you more than housing. As a general rule, mine costs many times more than housing. I just let it go at that. But, folks, if there is a spiritual aspect to all this stuff, I understand the New World Order wants to rip you off and destroy your marriage and your family. So do everything you can to prevent them from doing that. And I'm sorry for all those people who've gone through hellish divorces. I've been through one, too. May God bless you. Thank you. Keep it up.
All right, Jim. Thank you. I'll tell you something. I did a study in the Bible back in the 1990s, and I looked for the term fatherless in the Bible. All right? And it appears 44 times in most versions of the Bible. You'll find motherless one time in some versions, and other times in other versions they use orphan to invent that they're fatherless and motherless. But the point is, the implication is that the Bible understood that if you lost your mother, you were in trouble. If you lost your father, you were in big trouble. Of the 44 verses that used the word fatherless, about 18 of them, if I recall correctly, they were from prophets speaking to the rich and powerful, and they are telling them, do not oppress the widows and the fatherless. Right? That's about 18 of the 44 verses in the Bible that deal with fatherlessness. Now, most people would read that and say, well, that's just telling you, look, these people got enough trouble, the widows and the fathers, don't mess with them, all right? Pick on somebody your own size. That's how most people read it and understand those warnings from the prophets. But if you want, you can look at this and you can understand that it's not just a warning. It's a formula for oppression. If you want to oppress a people, one of the first things you do is you divide the family. You get that father out of the house. You remove the husband. And the result is women and children who, according to the Bible, if the Bible is true, women and children on their own who are more easily oppressed. I have little doubt, I could never prove it, but I have little doubt that governments, there are people in positions of power that are working to make sure that the father gets thrown out of the house, because it will result in children, not only the ex-wife, she'll be more easily oppressed, but so will their children. And that capacity for being oppressed will apparently stay with them for much of their life. It's not just while they're children, it's a way of neutering their ability to stand up and fight for their own best interests. And it goes to losing father. And if the Bible is true, I think that's probably an accurate interpretation. And I think it goes to why government has encouraged, they've passed laws, no-fault divorce. All right? If you're not, hey, I'm tired of it, I'm out of here, you know. You can quit under any circumstances. You took an oath to God, you were going to stay together till death do us part. Screw that. I'm not happy. You know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. I'd like a little more money or whatever. And people just quit. It was not a humane thing to do. Pass that laws that allow no-fault divorce. It was contrary to the nation's best interests. And we would have been better off to, instead of passing no-fault divorce, we should have had a class in high school that said, this is what you're looking for in a spouse. Right, here's what you need to value in your wife. Here's what you need to value in your prospective husband. And these are the people you need to be looking for. We didn't learn it. We've been tempted in the wrong direction, and there's going to be a price charged. One of the things you can do is protect yourself. Give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188, for trouble that's coming. I'm Alfred Addisk. This is Financial Survival. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye. Bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.